Haystack Help Radio brings you Your Legacy, Your Way, the show that puts you in control of your future. Hosted by Scott Whatley and featuring estate planning attorney Carolyn Duncan, this program is your go-to source for everything you need to know about protecting your assets, your family, and your legacy. Whether it's a will, a trust, or a full estate plan, if you don't decide, the state will decide for you. Attorney Carolyn Duncan brings the experience you need to help you gain peace of mind and avoid costly legal pitfalls. So ask yourself, what kind of legacy do I want to leave behind? Don't wait for a crisis before you plan. Now here's Your Legacy, Your Way with your hosts, Scott Whatley and Attorney Carolyn Duncan.
Welcome to Your Legacy, Your Way. My name is Scott Whatley. We are glad you are with us. Our show is brought to you by Duncan Legal. The number 303-394-2358. Our exclusive estate planning attorney, Carolyn Duncan, has been kind enough to offer a free consultation. We say about a half hour. We want to be fair to you and fair to her, but hey, there is a free consultation available. And again, the number is 303-394-2358. And with that, we will welcome Carolyn Duncan. How are you, ma'am?
I am doing just good. How
You're
about
ready
yourself?
For fall?
You know, I am. Last weekend, Florida State played in week zero.
Yes, they did.
I'm not sure I'm understanding week zero because they're saying opening weekend is this weekend.
Yeah, but I was wondering myself how that happened, yeah.
Well, we play on Labor Day, too, so there we go.
Yeah, it is. I'm ready for football.
I like football.
Yeah, it is going to be a fun time. Well, hey, if this is your first time to join us, and I say this every once in a while, welcome. We are here every week at this time with Carolyn. And as we always talk about, this topic is something that, you know, everybody knows about, but it's hard to get people to understand the urgency sometimes. And it may be because of your age or younger, or you're healthy and you think, hey, I'm good, or hey, my husband knows what to do, my wife knows what to do if something happens. But you know what, folks, it's got to be written down. And that's the way it's going to go best, and that's what Carolyn can help you do. And we talk a lot on the program about the importance of having an estate plan, but today we're going to look at something that can be just as important. So, you know, you did the responsible thing. You met with an attorney, maybe. You think you created a will, powers of attorney, trust, maybe, whatever. And you put everything away in a safe place. But then we can say it this way. Life happened. Maybe you got married. Maybe you got divorced. Maybe your spouse passed away. You welcomed grandchildren into the family. You retired. You bought or sold property. Perhaps your financial situation changed dramatically one way or the other. So the question becomes then, does your estate plan still reflect your life today if you have something? So, Carolyn, let's start with this. If somebody feels like they have some sort of plan, what do you do, and what is your way of doing business if they want to bring that in and have you kind of review something like that and look it over to just see what they have?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
You know, I do that. And it just depends on what you have me looking at. So, for example, if you're looking at your powers of attorney, you know, those you just redo. You don't amend them. You just do them again. If you're having me look at a trust or looking at a will, then my usual position is, hey, why don't we restate this? And then we're making it my documents, not me trying to fix somebody else's mm-hmm. documents.
Right.
And we just kind of go from there. And we just did some wills not too long ago where they did their powers of attorney and all that 2022 some time frame around in there. And it's like going, well, you know, if you don't have any changes to that, then yeah, I just keep those. And
okay.
We just redid the wills for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess number one question is an estate plan really ever just finished? It's never just like, see you that one day, get it all, and then to the end of life in most cases, right? I mean, we should check it, but I mean, how would you answer that question?
I don't think it ever is finished because as we grow and change and age, it's doing the same thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
you may have minor children. Well, they're no longer minor children.
Right.
You may have some more assets. You may go, ooh, why did I do that? Don't want to do that one anymore, kind of deal. It's, mm-hmm. It changes with you. It's not, as I have said out loud, I don't chisel it in stone.
Right.
It's not there of one and done.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have to look at it every month or every year or every couple of years, but it's not. It does change.
Right. So would you say there is is there a general rule of thumb, I guess is the old saying, of when you would say, hey, if you don't think anything changed, it's still good to look at it every 2 years or 3 years or 4 years?
I think so. And it's probably anywhere in there, every 2 to 3 years, And if you go out 5, you're probably still pretty good, depending on what's going on. Some people look at it more often. We have somebody that, I think I did the first one in 2014, and they come back every couple of years, and they came back here, and we've reached a position where it's like going, okay, I can't give you what you want with this kind of document, but I can if you switch over to this one.
Mm-hmm.
And the decision was made, okay, we're going to make this revocable trust into an irrevocable trust because she wants the asset protection as well.
Right.
And she's reaching that age where it's appropriate. It's not like she's 30,
mm-hmm.
Kind of deal. And so, she comes back every couple of years and we just kind of take a look at it and go from it. And the last time I saw her, I knew she had some questions, but I wasn't expecting us to go from here to there.
Sure.
But you just have to sit down and listen and then go, what is it that you're trying to accomplish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So let's go to the first one that usually changes people's lives, and these go hand in hand, marriage and divorce. So we'll start with marriage, the happy part. If someone gets married after creating an estate plan, how important to have those documents reviewed?
It's going to depend on what it is. If it's a second marriage, they might want to consider having a marital agreement, that what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours,
okay.
Kind of deal. Or if it's a blended family, what are we going to do with the blended family? I've got children, you have a child, how are we going to do this kind of deal? So you definitely want to look at that in regard to what are you doing. There's one out there that we did a while back where she had children, but her divorce was just going really fine, and his, ex-wife is taking her back every other day, it feels like, or, that's mm-hmm. what they kind of said. And it's like, okay, yeah. So you have to be careful with what it is and what you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
But you need to have those discussions up front, because mm-hmm. if you don't, and I'm not saying everybody has to get a prenuptial agreement, but if you don't and you're married and you pass away, you may have this estate plan, but it may not really do what you want because you didn't talk about the new spouse.
Right. Have you ever had a deal where, like, somebody put a beneficiary on the insurance policy itself, it listed a name, but maybe when they did an estate plan, they listed someone else or something? Has that ever, come?
Yeah. And what's going to happen is whoever you listed in that life insurance policy, that policy is going to control.
Okay.
So you could have said it over here. Oh, I can't imagine that I would put life insurance in my will or estate plan, but you could, saying, hey, the proceeds of my life insurance goes to X, Y, and Z. But if you have 1, 2, 3 listed on your life insurance policy, that's who's going to get it.
Okay. Again, Carolyn Duncan is with us. It is Duncan Legal, 303-394-2358. Okay, now the other side, divorce. That can obviously change the family and financial relationships dramatically.
In a couple of ways.
And do you see that?
I do.
Have you seen that more over the last 10, 15 years? I mean,
it can change it in a couple of ways. One, the legislature, Colorado legislature, has recognized for a very long time that when someone gets divorced, that, hey, the first thing I got to change is my estate planning documents. You know, they realize, ooh, that may not be your first thought.
Right.
So if you get divorced and you've got your spouse on everything, the law says, well, if even though, let's just use wife died and husband's still alive, if wife didn't change her estate plan, the law's going to treat it as if the husband died before her, and it will flow down to those secondary beneficiaries, and it'll flow down to the successor personal representative or successor trustee. Mm-hmm. And even on life insurance, if the spouse is named as on the life insurance, then they don't get the life insurance.
Right.
Kind of deal, because, you know, you didn't do it. But then there's the other side of the coin, where sometimes that life insurance is out there because it's there to secure an obligation such as alimony or maintenance payments or child support payments.
Okay.
So you need to, okay, the law is going to treat it as my spouse died, but if I have a decree that says I got to provide the life insurance, well, then you need to go and make sure that they know that as well.
Right.
So that they don't treat it as if the spouse, oh, yeah, predeceased, you don't get it. And it's like, oh, no, yes, I do, you know, kind of deal. And then sometimes, depending on the age of the children and things like that, or if one spouse had a lot more money than the other one, there are provisions in there that flow into, okay, spouse is going to get this and going to get that. So, yeah, you have to look at the divorce decree and see what it says and make your documents go hand in hand with it.
Right. Can a judge ever go against what's written down, thinking, you know, that really wasn't fair what that person did? They can't.
So if you're getting a divorce, it's one of those things that we are an equity state. We're not community property. And equity says you do what's fair. And what's fair doesn't have to be 50-50 to be fair.
Okay.
Okay. Depending on circumstances and things like that, it may be perfectly fair that you get 30% and you get 70% kind of deal. But if you did your estate plan and you pass away, and the judge won't necessarily come out and say, well, I don't like what you guys did, and I'm not going to follow that.
Right.
You know, there would have to be some kind of contest of, hey, I'm objecting to this, or I've filing my motion that I'm supposed to get this, or, you know, you have to have some kind of
proof of something.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So when you say what estate planning document should someone review during or after a divorce, me personally, I guess I would think, first of all, are they my financial power of attorney? You know, that's where I would think first. Or are they the one going to unplug the, you know, machine on me? But what would you really want to look at there?
Well, I'm gonna go backwards for a minute.
Okay.
And I would have interrupted you, but I'm like, going, okay. Another thing that's really important upon a divorce is sometimes they say who needs to be on the life insurance policy, and it could be the other spouse, you know, kind of deal, for the benefit of the children, that, hey, you've got to have life insurance, but the spouse is going to get it. But the other thing is, if you've got minor children, and I used to get this a lot of going, I don't want my spouse to raise these children. I'm going, well, you know, you can indicate who you want to be the guardian of your children. I'm not saying it's going to happen, because the parent's going to take priority, but you can at least put it in your will of going, you know, I want my mom to be the guardian of this minor child. And I said that might open the door for you to get what you want, kind of deal.
Gotcha. Interesting. Try to stay married. It's cheaper. Okay.
So now we're on to somebody died, is what I...
Yeah. All right. So, you know, and of course, we all know losing a spouse, and to be transparent, Carolyn has been that way as well, and so she has experienced that. But after that, a period, What documents are we looking at, possibly surviving the spouse, have reviewed?
You know, I think you kind of have to look at the whole picture. Because in my case, I did have Bill, my spouse, listed as everything. And then it came down to, it would have been my brother Bill after that, in terms of who would be responsible for gathering the assets and paying off the debt and distributing what's left over. You know, I've kind of had some thought changes. I know I've changed my medical power of attorney of going, well, wait a minute. My very good friend knows me better than my brother who mm-hmm. doesn't live here and blah, blah, blah. And so I made that change and made her my first choice for the medical power of attorney, because when things are going on with me or whatever, she's the one I'm talking to.
Right.
You know, I'm not necessarily picking up the phone and saying, hey, bro, you know, this is what's going on kind of deal. And I haven't quite made up my mind if I'm going to make changes in other areas. I'm still trying to figure out, well, where do I want my stuff to go? Because there's this part of me that says, I don't want to leave it to my brothers.
Right.
You know, they're not going to leave me anything. So, and it's not that I'm trying to get something. I'm just saying,
sure.
I need to decide for me, where do I want my stuff to go when I pass away? And I've been thinking of some charities. I've actually been thinking of, you know, nieces and nephews kind of deal. But, you know, we're 6 years down the road and I still haven't made the change, but mm-hmm. I think about it.
Right.
And that's where it gets complicated for people.
Right. And a lot of times, like you say, that person was listed, and we always talk about this, and I guess the word would be, who's your backup people? You know, are those people going to stay the same
mm-hmm.
after a death? Because it could be they were family now, and maybe, you know, there's already strife, which there always is
yeah.
in families after this, unfortunately. So are those backups even going to stay the same?
Right.
So you might be want to review that.
Yeah. You know, and you're exactly right. I just happened to make my decision first on my friend on the medical issues, and she teases me, and she's like, oh, and well, you know, one day we need to sit down so I know exactly what you want me to do. And mm-hmm. she's like, oh, that would be a perfect podcast. Hey, I made my best friend my power of attorney. Now what do I do?
Right, right.
You know, and she's right. And I'm like, well, what do you want to know?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know a lot of it.
You know, the more people I talk to in my age range, in their 60s, later in the 60s even, try to sit down with their family members, a little off topic here, but I just thought of this, and say, look, Mom and Dad, what do you want to do? And man, these older parents do not want to discuss this. Why is there such, it just, I don't know if they feel like, you know, I mean, these are their kids. They know they love them, hopefully. And you wonder why there's such a obstinance to wanting to talk about this and plan with families, you know, because it is about your legacy, your way. And that's the idea about it. But, I mean, I don't know, just an off-the-wall question.
You know, and it is tough because I ran across a potential probate case that I'm like, ooh, yeah, I hear you. And I see the problems. I think he needs someone else, mm-hmm. you know, that I'm not even going to put my toe in the water because I'm going, oh, wow, you guys did this at the last moment. And I even asked, I said, well, you know, I don't think an attorney prepared these documents, did they? And it was like, no. And I'm like, well, why did you do that? Well, you know, why did you use, I don't even know who they use, but why did you use an online? And they were just trying to save a dollar. And then I would go, well, why is this worded this way? Well, we didn't know any better. And I'm just like, I could see that, you know. But now nothing can be done because the person passed away.
Right.
And it's like, ooh,
yeah.
You need someone else.
Sometimes that's best for both. Yeah, for sure. All right, moving on. Children, grandchildren. You know, hey, they go or grow up, they get married and have children of their own. So how should the birth of children or grandchildren possibly affect an estate plan?
You know, I think as people age and all that, we did a plan years ago where she has two children and It was equally divided, but she was giving gifts to the grandchildren of, you know, $5,000 or whatever it was. And then, you know, now she's come back and she's like going, well, my children don't need this, so I want to increase the amount of my gift to my grandchildren who are just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, changes like that come into play all the time because they're like, oh, you've got more money than you need. These people are either in college or just getting out of college or starting that first job or whatever. And I think a lot of people think that way sometimes of going, yeah, I don't necessarily have to leave it to my children, but maybe, you know, I can help my grandchildren more so.
Right, right. So can people designate to, like, for grandchildren, hey, I want to leave this amount of money, but it's got to go towards education. Can you direct money?
You can do that, but you always have to have an end point, so to speak. So what happens if you say, hey, I want them to use this money to go to school? That's perfect. College.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, vocational school or whatever it is. But what happens if you have a child that either doesn't want to go and do that, or they're very lucky and fortunate and they got scholarships and all that and they don't, you know, so you can't limit it. And, you know, sometimes I've seen, oh, yeah, I want it to go to education. And then if that doesn't work, then, you know, purchase of a house or something. But you have to be able to have an endpoint where the child can get the money even if they don't meet your condition.
Right.
Because if they never go to college and never get the college degree, how do they get the money?
Mm-hmm. True. Again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Your Legacy Your Way with Attorney Carolyn Duncan. And as I mentioned earlier, we're here every week at this time. Her number is 303-394-2358 for your free initial consult. Does it happen sometimes when people do have a plan? That's kind of what we're talking about today, of maybe updating a plan or making sure everything is still as you would wish today as it was when you had it drawn up. Where maybe they've got that will-based plan, as you call it, and then you look at things and you say, hey, yeah, you need to move some of this to a trust-based mm-hmm. plan. What does that kind of mean in just layman terms for us, moving something maybe from a will-based plan to a trust-based plan?
So it really kind of depends on what you're trying to achieve. So if you've got some assets and you, let's say you have a house and maybe a rental or a vacation home and all that and you're getting up there, you may want to go from a will-based plan to doing some sort of asset protection. Whether we like it or not, assisted living, nursing homes, they are not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like you've got these assisted living and memory cares that are on every corner like 7-Elevens. And I'm always shocked of going, oh my goodness, you know, this is $12,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to sometimes start thinking about it, going, yeah, I got plenty of money, but at the same time, at $12,000 a month, and you've got, let's just say, a house that's worth $300,000, you divide $12,000 into that and see how long it's going to last.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just getting out of sight in terms of that. And, you know, so sometimes that's a good reason to change over of going, yeah, that will work, but it's not going to maybe accomplish what you're trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Let's just this real quick. Here's one I think is good for us. If a lot of people move. If you go to another state, you know, Colorado continues to have people moving both in and out of the state. But if someone had an estate plan prepared, you know, in another state and then moves to Colorado, do they need to have something done here in this state to make that all binding, or how does that work?
Now, we're a mobile society.
Huh. Yeah.
It's going to move with you, but depending on what you're doing, I'll have people that just move into the state and they are, you know, can you look it over? And, you know, more than happy to do that and make suggestions. But usually one of the first things I start out with is, well, what is it that you would change from your original trust to make it different, mm-hmm. you know, or are you just concerned about the laws? kind of deal.
Right.
Because if you're really not going to make any changes, then what you have will work for you. And I'll just use the example of a trust, because the trustee, whether it was written in Texas and you're in Colorado, the trustee's job still is to gather the assets, pay off the debts, and distribute what's left over. And even if it went into a litigation because someone's not happy with whatever, we are supposed to interpret the trust under the laws in which it was drafted. Now, I don't know if that really happens because I've never litigated anything like that.
Right.
We're looking at it. But I know that my documents say, hey, this is to be interpreted under the laws of Colorado. But I hope that the vast majority of what I'm doing, they're not going to court over it because they have disagreements.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, but it will move with you. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be making changes and you want to do this now and you want to do that, well, then let's just restate it, keep the name and the date, but make it conform to Colorado. But
yeah.
Not everybody needs that.
Yeah, true. So here's the big thing. Your estate plan should reflect the life you're living today, not the life you were living 10 or 20 years ago. Would that be a way to simplify it?
Yeah, it is, because, I mean, I get a lot of people that they come in and they say, oh, well, you know, we did this because we had little kids and now our kids are in their 30s. Okay, life changed. Now mm-hmm. What do you want to do? You know, hey, do you want them to be in a position that maybe they're one of the successor trustees or something like that?
Right.
Or, you know, do they have their own health issues going on that maybe you want to protect them and put it in a supplemental needs trust because you don't want them to lose whatever entitlements they should get, whether it's at the federal, state, or local level
mm-hmm.
kind of deal. So, you know, things happen. Things change.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you've been listening to Your Legacy Your Way with Attorney Carolyn Duncan of Duncan Legal. And the number again, 303-394-2358. And when you call, be sure and let her know you heard her here on KLZ 560. And we would appreciate that as well. So, Carolyn, as always, thank you for your time. And we'll look forward to our show next week.
There you go.
303-394-2358. Hey, don't put it off. You know what? Let's get it done. Just give her a call. Say, Scott sent me. She'll get you fixed up, look over what you've got, and get that peace of mind for you and your family to have your legacy your way. Thanks for being with us today. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.